This week's episode of Hype is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype.
Welcome to Hype, our very special episode all about Star Wars: The Force Awakens. Huge spoiler alert at the very top of the show. We will begin talking about spoilers right away because we're too excited. We've all seen the film. So if you haven't seen it, you know, go to the cinema and see it, obviously, like duh, and then come back and listen to the special. My name is Selena. And I have with me for this Star Wars special a group of mostly very big Star Wars fans and a couple of, and by a couple I mean Andrew of Inter, sort of snuck in here. I have from Hypeable.com, Mikhail, Danya, Andrew, and Danielle. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey.
It's so exciting. And this is actually Danielle's very first Hype episode. So we're very excited to have you on.
I'm very excited to be here.
Mikhail, you've been on another one, right?
I think so. I think I was on the Hamilton episode.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah.
And Andrew, I don't really remember. I feel like maybe you were on once or twice in the past.
At the very beginning, yeah. Yes.
Once upon a time. It's great to have you back. And for Star Wars, your biggest fandom.
I know.
You're such a super fan.
I am a convert, but we'll get into that in a moment.
Yes, absolutely. Before we get into the actual discussion about Star Wars, The Force Awakens, let me just tell you where we're from. We're from Hypeable.com, which is H-Y-P-A-B-L-E.com. If you haven't visited us, then please go and do that. We bring you all the latest entertainment news. And Hype is, of course, Hypeable.com's flagship show, where we usually talk about all the latest entertainment news and discussion and TV shows and all of that good stuff. We also have a Twitter, which is at Hypeable Hype. We have an Instagram at Hypeable Hype. And you can also email us, hype@hypeable.com. So when you've listened to this discussion and you have all your thoughts like, oh, they messed that up, or I so agree Rey is the best, you can, you know, send those comments to us and we'll talk about it a little bit on the next episode of Hype. So let's start by talking a little bit about how we got into watching this movie, what our experiences were with Star Wars beforehand, if we're big fans, if we're not. And I want to start us off with Mikhail.
Well, I became a Star Wars fan in the late 90s, basically around the time that The Phantom Menace was coming out, because my dad is a big Star Wars fan. And I knew that, but I was never really into it myself. Like, we had the special edition VHS that was sitting on, like, on a shelf in the living room. And, like, they scared me because they had Yoda and Darth Vader and a Stormtrooper. And I had no idea what they were.
Oh, I had the same ones. Were they, like, black on one side and white on the other side? Oh, no. Is it the same one?
I don't know. I think it was from, like, 92. Mm. And it, like, had foil on it. And I just looked this up because I was curious what they were. And apparently they are very valuable now, which is too bad. I don't think they exist anymore in my house anyway. But that was like my introduction to Star Wars. And then I was obsessed. Like, I remember a time when like pressing S on my browser would bring me to StarWars.com automatically. And I read some books, not really major EU books. They were about Obi-Wan Kenobi as a teenager. And they were so good.
Was this fan fiction or was this books?
Oh no, they were real books. Okay. Yeah. But they scratched my perfect, you know, 13-year-old itch. But as the years kind of went on, I kind of fell out of it. I kind of just went back to Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, and there was other stuff in my life. And I was really at like a negative Star Wars fan level for a really long time, until basically Thanksgiving of last year when the trailer came out for Force Awakens for the first time. And I was literally like, oh, okay, I'm back. Like, I remember. And then I started covering Rebels for Hypeable. And from then on, I basically had to listen to a lot of Star Wars podcasts because I had no idea what was going on in the rest of the world. And from then on, I basically just have gotten completely obsessed. And it's weird to think that Star Wars is one of my major fandoms now, but it definitely is. So I went into this movie with a great deal of excitement.
Danielle, how about you?
Oh gosh, I've been a Star Wars fan since I was maybe like 7 or 8. Same as Mikhail, kind of right before the prequels came out. I actually wrote about it for an article for the site. It's the one with the little girl standing next to Princess Leia. But basically, I also had the special edition VHS tapes, which I actually still have. I'm not sure if they're the same ones you were talking about, but mine have like a gold plating on them, sort of. And I actually used them the other day to rewatch the series. But I watched those all the time. I went to Star Wars weekends at Disney. And then I kind of still loved it, still talked to people about it, kind of would strike up conversations with people and use Star Wars as a way to do that. But I didn't really get super excited about it again until the trailer hit with the Chewie We're Home.
Oh, God.
That's pretty much what brought me back to my high level of excitement, because I just broke down. And then ever since then, I'd been really excited. So it's always been a part of my life, sometimes a little more than others. I never did extended universe stuff, but Star Wars all the way.
Yeah. It's funny because I had no idea that you were a Star Wars fan, because we sort of intersect on Hypo and you sort of get an idea of what people's fandoms are. And you wrote that article. And I, by the way, I swear I thought that was like a tiny Natalie Portman in that picture. So I was like super confused and that was you. I was like, oh. But yeah, so it's so, and that's why it's so great that you were able to be on the show, because we have all these closet Star Wars fans just kind of coming out of the woodwork, and it's so exciting. And Danya, you can go next.
I think I originally got into Star Wars around, it wasn't long after my brother was born, so I must have been about 4.5, 5 years old. We had the VHS tapes that were pre the special edition ones.
Oh my God, do you still have them?
I think they're in the attic at my dad's house, because they're my dad's.
Yeah.
Like, those will always be my dad's, because he was the one who got me into Star Wars. And I remember sitting down and we watched it together. That was a big thing for me and my dad. And I was obsessed. As a kid, all I wanted to do was play Star Wars. Like, and then as my brother was growing up as well, like when we started getting him into it, like all I wanted to do was play Star Wars. That's it. That's all I wanted to do. And I was obsessed. And I read like all of the expanded universe books. Like I own, like there's a scary amount of them still in the attic at my parents' house, like boxes and boxes and boxes of them. Watched all of the cartoons, just everything, you know, the Star Wars Christmas special, everything. I've watched it all. It's probably one of my, like, my first and biggest fandoms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been into it for a long, long time. Maybe waned a little bit when the prequels came out, and then George Lucas decided to go back and start adding in terrible extra CGI into like everything.
God. I didn't know that had happened, because I was lucky and I had the non-special editions that I used to watch, and I just recently rewatched the special ones. Like, what? The music number? Like, what? Like, oh my God.
Oh my God, the at Jabba's palace?
Yeah.
Like, that scene is messed up enough. It's, oh my God.
Awful. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so around that time it kind of waned a little bit, and then I thought, you know what, no, I can just ignore all that, I'm just gonna pretend it never happened and move on. And then I was completely reignited by like all of the Force Awakens stuff, and I've been pretty damn excited about this movie ever since they kind of announced it was happening. So yeah, my level of Star Wars geekdom is pretty high. I think I'm still devouring like everything. All of the comics that have come out since Disney took over, all of the books, everything. I've read all of them. So
exciting. Well, that's pretty fandom for you. It's it's good. And Andrew, you have been a Star Wars denier for a long time.
Now, here's the thing. A brief history of my relationship with Star Wars is just I was never introduced to the films as a kid. And the prequels came out. Honestly, I can't even remember like any buzz around them. Just they were just totally off my radar. And then, of course, once Disney bought Lucasfilm, I still remember where I was when the big news came out. I still remember it took us at Hypeable forever to get it posted. That was like a big mistake. But yeah, I'm embarrassed to say it took me a while, but I finally watched the original trilogy earlier this week.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was good. I wanted to watch it before seeing The Force Awakens. I've been telling myself for months I would watch it. And of course I procrastinated till literally the final night.
I was watching like the final like Return of the Jedi like as I was about to go to the cinema, and I had like 10 minutes left and I had to go, and I was like walking around the house with the computer like to finish.
Yeah, so I'm not going to watch the prequels. I just hear nothing but bad things. I know there are some people who like them, but it seems like the majority do not. So I'm just not even bothering with those. And so that's my relationship. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. It's actually funny because I'm the same. And obviously, we want to get into talking about The Force Awakens. But when I was little, like, unfortunately, like, my mother is very cool with fandom stuff in general. Like, she's a huge Harry Potter nerd and, like, Lord of the Rings. She loves it and all that stuff. But Star Wars, she is one of those people, you know, the people that are proud to never have seen a Star Wars film. You know, like, I have never seen those.
I've never read Harry Potter.
They are not for me. Yeah. So I grew up in a house that was very not Star Wars. And every time I expressed an interest in watching it, because I've always been a geek, my mom was like, Star Wars. And then the prequels came out. And we were all, like, it's the same age-ish. And we were, like, 12 or whatever, how old you were when they came out, or 11. And that was around the Harry Potter time, and they all sort of felt like part of the same movement. And now my first language is not English, so when I watched the prequels, I didn't get that they weren't acting very well. That's just my excuse, because I loved them. I loved the prequels. I felt like I had, like, Anakin, like, pictures of him, and it's so embarrassing. And, like, it's not until I watched it when I grew older that I was like, what the hell? Like, what happened? Who was I? What was this thing? And I always just blame it on the fact that it was a foreign language, so it's much better in the subtitles.
It's okay. I liked Phantom Menace.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Yeah, I really liked it, too. And I had, like, Attack of the Clones, like trading cards. It was crazy. I don't know. Like, this is so embarrassing. But so then I went back and watched the originals. I loved them. And I had to sort of watch them in secret because my mother thought it was lame. And then I've just sort of always felt like it's sort of like you guys, but it's kind of like simmering in the background. Like, there's lots of other exciting fandoms that we're involved with. But Star Wars has always been like, you know, it's Star Wars and it's Luke and it's Leia and it's Han and it's so when The Force Awakens came back, it gripped me, like all of you guys, the excitement just gripped me. And I mean, we're going to get into sort of what we felt like, what we thought we could expect for this movie. And I know for me, I expected big things, and I was sure that it was not going to live up to my expectations because it was J.J. Abrams, who I love. And it was like this whole new cast that I thought looked so intriguing, and all the promotional stuff. It was just it was setting it up to fail, in my opinion, because I was like, there's no way it's going to be as good as I thought it was going to be. How about you guys?
The trailers, all three of them were so damn good. And prior to things getting a little crazy, like, there have been some pretty ridiculous Star Wars commercials here for like cars that it's just a car commercial with the Star Wars music playing in the background. And then at the end it says The Force Awakens in theaters Friday. Like, it's so stupid. So other than that bad marketing close to the release of the movie, I think the expectations set by the trailers lived up to what we saw in the movie, because the trailers were just so good, even though they didn't really tell you what happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience of secrecy was so key for obvious reasons with this movie. But I think everybody being able to see this movie about the same time within the span of 3-4 days of each other, and these big secrets being unveiled finally after years of speculation, it just paid off. We're going to continue with today's Star Wars special in just a moment, but first it's time to remind everybody that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. They are the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great service. I have two recommendations for everybody. First of all, unsurprisingly, these two books are very high up on the Audible bestsellers list right now. First of all, the official novelization of Star Wars The Force Awakens. This was narrated by Mark Thompson, and it's a presentation of the Force Awakens story, but it's presented not like a typical audiobook. You will get sound effects, you will get music, you will get a variety of different voices by Mark. This is really a fantastic, unique way to consume The Force Awakens. Maybe you've already seen it in a theater once, twice, thrice, and you want to enjoy the story again. This is the perfect way to do it. And then my other recommendation is any of the 7 Harry Potter books. They were recently added to Audible. It's been a long time coming. Of course, audiobook versions of the Harry Potter books have been available for a while, but finally they've come to Audible. You can get any one of them, or Star Wars The Force Awakens, or any other book for free. audiblepodcast.com/hype. Sign up today. Get a free audiobook. And we thank Audible for their support of the show.
I started avoiding all the stuff about, I don't know, a month ago, because I saw, you know, the first trailer, the second trailer, the third trailer, and then by the time, you know, the commercial spots started coming out, I was like, nope, I'm just gonna get too much in my mind. And I was actually shocked at how many parts of the trailer I recognized. Like, I knew what was gonna happen just from, I have a strong visual memory that way, so I had a lot of those going on during the movie, but I was kind of in, like, a constant state of, like, numbing my expectations, not even like reducing them, just being like, don't have expectations, you know? And because at a certain point, I didn't really know what the plot was. I knew I desperately wanted to love Rey. I knew that BB-8 was the best. I knew that going in. But I didn't know what I wanted out of it, because it was so, because, you know, I was excited to see the prequels, I guess, but at this point, it's such a numb memory for me, and the level of investment and potential loss was definitely nowhere near this, also because I was much younger, that I was really like, if I don't like this, this is going to be me, like, with all of my critical powers not liking it. And I was very concerned. And I did like it. I think I liked it with a little more hesitation than a lot of people do. I'm actually really happy that people love it without any qualifications at all. I think that it's not as clean or as sleek of a movie as I thought it was going to be, given that it is J.J. Abrams and he's made so many of these things. It definitely gets very bulky toward the end, and some of the dialogue, especially with Han and Leia, I found a little bit disappointing. But the core conflict of the movie, actually, I don't even know what the core conflict of the movie is, but the core emotional moments of the movie strike really true for me. And every single one of the new, like, without hesitation, I can tell you that I love every single new character that's introduced, from Rey to, like, Hux. I'm even interested in.
Oh my God, I love, like, Hux.
Yes. I mean, I don't know how he's old enough to have trained these stormtroopers from birth, but okay, I'll go with it. And maybe he's had some, like, surgery or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm so looking forward to the future. I'm so thrilled to be, like, I feel like Star Wars is mine in a way that it has not been ever, really, you know, and partly that was just because I got into it through my dad. But I really feel an ownership of this story and these characters going forward that I'm almost awed, almost in a way that I haven't with another property, like, maybe since Hermione Granger.
Yeah, that's very similar to how I felt as well. And obviously, I kind of feel like I shouldn't repeat everything that I wrote in my review on Hyperbole, because you can just go read that if you want to know how I feel. But it's basically the thing, is that I'm willing to... I almost like that it was a little clunky, and I almost like that it was a little imperfect, because I felt like that's part of its charm. Like, it's not Star Wars if it's sleek and perfect, you know? Like, that's not what Star Wars is. And I feel like the raw emotion of some of the, like, they'd clearly chosen to highlight emotion over, not over plot, but over plot cohesion at times, and I felt like that was the right way to go. And overall impression, and, like, I just loved it, and we'll get into the specifics, but I just loved it. How about you, Danielle?
I saw it last night, and I've been in a constant state of confusion sort of okay. since then. I really loved, like you were saying, I love the clunkiness, and I loved the first maybe three quarters of the movie, but then I got really taken out of it, which we can get into specifics later. I know that Star Wars, it has, like, a family-centric core, like, that's how it is, that's how it's always been, and that's what makes it so real when there's, like, this giant galactic battle going on, but the way in which family and family ties were dealt with in this movie took me out of the movie. The family drama just kind of turned me off in the way that they did it. And so I'm still trying to come to terms with how I feel about it. I'm going to go see it again. And I did really enjoy a lot of it, but I just can't, I can't say that I loved it.
Mm, interesting. I'm even more glad that we have you on now because we need that range of opinion. How about you, Danya?
I really enjoyed it. The only thing that I expected out of this movie was that I was going to enjoy it. It didn't necessarily mean I needed to love it as much as the original trilogy, because I don't think that anything could ever be as good as the original trilogy for me, because I'm so close to it. But I needed it to just make me happy. Mm. And this film exceeded that expectation for me. I think that it fits in with my ranking of the original trilogy. Like, it's quite far up there. I really enjoyed it. Disclosure, I've seen it more than once as
well. Oh, wow.
You know, I keep hearing from people that on a second watch, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
And I've been having the itch to watch it a second time now, because you really do notice different things the second time you see it, because the first time you watch anything, you're focused on kind of the bigger picture and less of the detail. And then the second time, yeah, so I want to see it the second time. But I really did love it. It was fun. There were great, maybe a little too many throwbacks to the original trilogy.
Oh, I thought that was a problem as well. There was just maybe one too few, like, haha, wink, wink.
Too few or too many?
Oh, one. I'm sorry, one too many.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But on the other hand, we're allowed to spoil, right?
We can spoil.
I mean, when you're killing Han, maybe you do need to have a bunch of those.
Yeah.
So he has a chance to get all these in. But yeah, I did love it. I'm really looking forward to seeing it again.
Agreed. I think, because that's interesting, I think, Danya, what you said about just wanting to enjoy it is really key. That was really key to my enjoyment too. And I really want to watch it a second time as well, because I went into this movie, like I kind of said, I was so sure that I wasn't going to like it, because I've had a lot of like very underwhelming theater going experiences recently where I just come into it and I notice all the, like I notice the sound editing, I notice the weirdest things that just takes me out of it. So I was like, I'm not going to like it. I really want to like it. I'm not going to like it. And I wrote this in my review as well. Like there was one point, and I'm not, this should be said, I'm not a crier at movies. Like I never cry at movies. But I was like halfway through the movie, and it was the point when Rey goes into Maz Kanata's palace or castle, and she gets the lightsaber.
It's her cave scene.
Her cave's in the innermost. Yeah. And she picks up the lightsaber, and I realized she was going to be the Jedi, because we didn't really know who was going to have the Force. And I assumed it was going to be Finn, and I was ready to accept that, be excited for that. And I was just like, oh my God, this is a good movie, and Rey is the hero that I wanted her to be, and I'm enjoying this, and it's funny, and it's special, and I feel like it's special. And I was just like so overwhelmed with a stupid emotion. I was like, what? I thought I was dead inside. What is this? This is what are these things on my face? And from that point on, like when Han went back to where Kylo Ren was, and Kylo Ren was like, I sense Han Solo in the building or whatever, and I sort of, that was when I realized, okay, it's like the rumors are true. Like Han is really going to die. I was trying to pretend like that wasn't the case. And I was just sitting there with my hands over my mouth like, this can't, oh my God. And I felt so much watching this film. And that's like, watching it the second time, I will be able to appreciate it as a film. But just from a purely raw emotion, it was so much more than I thought it was going to be. And it made me feel a lot more than I thought it was going to be. And I was kind of beginning to think that I was just over feeling so far, you know, because you get so...
Star Wars made me feel again. The moment I thought I knew Han was going to die was when he offered Rey the co-pilot seat in the Millennium Falcon. Because that was kind of like, let's say she did take it. Then, of course, he dies, and then obviously she's the new captain. Mm-hmm. So that was very telling to me.
So how do
I
we...
I turned my brain off mm-hmm. and, like, didn't go in. Because it was a big point of speculation for a very long time. And then... And Han isn't, like, my favorite character or anything. But, like, in the... When I was in the movie, that kind of thudded back into me that there was a possibility that Han was going to die. And, like, I waited a long time to get my mental act together. Because it was mm-hmm. really only when he stepped out onto that walkway that I was like, oh
yeah, there's no way back. Like when he split up from Chewie, my final hope.
And it's really, I mean, I keep thinking, I mean, for me, this is by far the darkest thing that Star Wars has done in a live action. And I kept thinking, like, you know, if he'd gone out in battle or whatever, I don't disapprove of this. I actually love that this happened, but it is utterly heartbreaking, and I feel like I haven't seen enough people be traumatized by it because I'm like, do you realize how upsetting this is? Like this, mm-hmm.
yes.
like mm-hmm. that Ben is like, okay, you know, he is on the pinpoint right there between, I mean, you know, obviously all important things happen on bridges in Star Wars, but like he's really on that line, and I feel like there is the light and the dark on both sides of that very thin bridge, and he decides to do the most horrific thing, and you could see him struggling with it, which is the worst, you know? I mean, there's so much emotion in that scene, and it's such a reflection of Jedi, where, you know, Luke basically becomes one with the light because he decides not to kill his father and almost sacrifice himself. Mm-hmm. And then Kylo sacrifices his father for him to go to the dark side. And that is, to me, like, I mean... almost unspeakable. Like, I would write an article about it, but I don't know what to say other than this happened, OMG, you know. Yeah.
I, speaking of the reaction, the fans not maybe like understanding the enormity of the event, when I was watching it in the theater, of course it's a packed theater with Star Wars fans, everybody's just dressed up, I think I heard one open sob, but I just had this urge to just stand up and be like, can you guys believe what's happening right now? Are you guys watching the same movie I am?
J.J. Abrams just killed Han Solo. Like, Han Solo.
This is canon, people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my brother said. Yeah, this is canon now.
In cinema history to kill off Han Solo is probably... like, he tops the list of most beloved movie characters... Yeah. Almost all the time. And that's just, that's to me, that was, I think I said this to you, Andrew, like when you go back and continue an old franchise, like obviously there are going to be changes. Obviously you're going to usher in a new age, but to actually say, okay guys, we're going to kill off Han Solo. Like Han Solo is the equivalent, like that is Star Wars, especially to that group of fans that have grown up, you know, the male group of fans that have identified with Han, that have been like, ooh, you know, I want a romance like Luke and like, no, that Han and Leia. And like, they shut that to hell too. They were like, nope, they didn't have that happy ending you all thought they had. And they went in and they, cause I know this makes sense. And I'm totally like, I'm not against that they did this. I think it's ballsy as hell, but imagine like, a new Harry Potter story, like let's say the play, or let's say she writes another book in like 20 years and she's like, oh yeah, and Ron dies, like you can't, you know, it's like you feel like these characters, like when the story ends, you feel like those characters are safe forever, like you feel like, okay, the story ended, they're alive, they're immortal, they made it through the story and now they get to live forever, that's their reward.
Twists like this, if they can continue delivering, obviously Han is the biggest twist of all.
Yeah, I mean, they have two more original characters to kill in the next two movies, and then Chewie will be left alone, sad and heartbroken.
The movie left us very curious about Luke, mm-hmm. which is going to drive a lot of the success of Episode 8, and then who knows what'll come in Episode 9 and future films, but I think... all the big surprises in this movie, the answers that, you know, Han and Leia, their relationship didn't go as we thought, killing Han, etc. I think these big moments, if they can continue to add these into these movies are going to make buttloads of money for for an eternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this one right now is breaking records left and right. Yeah. So,
but what do you guys think? I mean, have you guys heard, are any of you feeling this, or have you heard from any fans who are like really upset about the Han Solo death? Because I know they're out there. Yes. And honest, to be honest with you, yeah, like those old school fans, they must feel, because it is kind of like you're killing off the old Star Wars fandom to usher in a new fandom, you know?
I've listened to a lot, like a lot of reviews, like video reviews, podcast reviews. I listened to one massive spoiler-filled one today that was like almost 2 hours long. And
it'll have nothing on this one, guys.
I know. Yeah. Every single one of them hasn't, and these are like people who have been into Star Wars for probably longer than I was. Some of them were like, they watched the original trilogy in the cinema kind of age, and they were all perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as fine as you can be with Han Solo dying. You know, that emotional resonance is there because you're so connected to those characters from the original trilogy, but they all understood it. They all saw why it had to happen. And honestly, I don't know if I'm not hanging around on the right places on the internet, but I haven't seen a massive amount of people going like really negative on this.
Mm-hmm. Like there's been a few, but very few.
My friend that I went with last night is pissed.
Oh, really?
She is not, like, she was having a bad day yesterday to begin with. And she's like, okay, Star Wars is going to make it better.
Oh,
Han is her favorite in the series. And we walked out of the theater and she kind of had the same pissed off expression on her face as I did when I walked out of Age of Ultron. She looked like she wanted to punch something. And she's been like messaging me a little bit today too. And she loved everything up to that point, and then I think that just ruined the movie for her.
I mean, to be honest, it didn't ruin the movie for me either, but like up until that point I'd been like, yeah, this is awesome, I was so excited, and then that happened. I was like, I almost can't feel like this is awesome anymore, like when I was watching it, because I was like, I'm so sad. Like, I get it, I totally 100% get it, but I'm still just really sad, because it does feel like you're losing a part of your childhood or your fandom or something really special to you. And I was walking out of the theater and I like sort of, again with the emotion, I don't know what was wrong with me, guys, it was crazy, but like I was just overwhelmed by the knowledge that Han Solo was dead. Like that knowledge, walking around knowing that, was like really hard for me. And I was like, I started crying again, guys. Like I really did. And I was like, because people were coming into the theater, so I like didn't want to spoil them, so I was like trying to hide my face.
You have to be careful. But what if Harrison only agreed to doing this movie if he was only going to be in one?
That's
then
what I
would
think.
People rather have? I mean, they had to do it with him.
They gave him one last grand adventure, and he got to go out like he wanted to go out in Return of the Jedi, and that's, you know, that's why he's so excited.
If he went out in Return of the Jedi, this would, you know, this is a much sadder story than if he went out in Return of the Jedi. And I think, I mean, George Lucas is incapable of killing anyone. Like, that has been a thing, right, Donya? Like, in the EU, one of his things was, you can do XYZ, but you can't kill off Luke, Han, or Leia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, because they're, like, his actual children to him.
Oh, God.
And, or, like, spouses. I don't know, whatever. George Lucas is an interesting guy. But, you know, I mean, I think that, I'm glad that people, that not a ton of people are, like, this to me is not the type of thing that I would get, like, I'm not angry, and I don't think it's, obviously, I don't mean to dictate anyone's reaction, but to me, it's not really, I'm glad that, like, hardcore Star Wars fans, a lot of them are not, like, angry about this as much as, but it's still very upsetting, you know, I think those are two different things. You can be angry in-universe and be like, Kylo Ren, I hate you, or blah, 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 you know, but you can still also accept the structure of it. I kind of hope it wasn't like, well, if we can only get Harrison if we kill him off, so we have to.
No.
Like, because he's been so, like, nice, suddenly, weirdly, about all the promotion of The Force Awakens. But, you know.
He's so excited to be done with Star Wars, guys.
Yeah, he is.
I hope it was a story decision.
Yeah, I think it was. I think they must have approached him and said, like, look, come back. We have this awesome idea. You die.
Yeah. Well, you keep saying how it's like an emotional way for him to go out. And it hasn't really hit me that he has died yet, because I think his death is kind of the culmination of how I feel about the family beats in this movie, in that I knew he was going to die and it did not affect me because it did not feel like they set up that family, like the gravity of that for me. I feel very detached from what they were trying to do because it felt like they were trying to hit me over the head with the fact that, like, oh, it's family. Oh, this is awful what has happened. I don't think that I had enough time, or we got enough time with those characters, in that I don't feel like the family relationship has any, like, foundation to it. I, like, the stakes weren't there. It's like, oh, this is Han and Leia's child, and that really didn't mean
it was like
all
show
that
not,
much to me.
Tell not show,
this
was a minor bugbear of mine, very very minor. There were a couple of minor things through this movie that, like, for the majority of it, I really really loved this film. There's like one or two things that kind of niggling in the back of my head. This, what Danielle was going on about the family aspect, that was one of them. I feel like they could have done with having a confrontation between Kylo Ren and Han Solo a little bit earlier in the movie, where they see each other and they have some kind of recognition more than just a brief glimpse at each other, to set up a little bit more gravity for what happens later in the movie. Because at the moment, we don't really have a lot of that there for it to have as much impact. Yes, did I think it was sad? Yes, did I really feel the struggle of what Kylo Ren actually ends up doing? Did I think that scene was lit incredibly well? Yes, I did. But I think it could have done with a little bit more introduction earlier in the movie, rather than that half not really conversation with Leia, where he's like, I saw him, I saw our son, that's it. I can see why it would have been difficult to do it, but it, I think it would have helped.
It would have helped just in that I feel like they were trying to use our previous love for these older characters and try to just use that as the base for introducing the new characters. Like, I want the old characters to be around, but I don't think that that was a strong enough foundation to try to make us care about. Like, I care about the new trio, which we will talk about later, but to care about, like, Kylo Ren's relationship with the older characters, it's just not there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Kylo Ren briefly and what we thought about his impact as the new villain, and also his relationship with Han or Leia, or lack of same.
I kind of absolutely love that everyone had this almost expectation of sorts going in that he was going to be this menacing,
badass,
overbearing kind of badass force. And to a certain extent, he was kind of terrifying. You get some moments of that where he's really scary, but you also get that instability in the character, this
he's
almost
such a
immaturity
brat
as well, because
he
has
the worst
so many
tantrums.
I've seen people on Tumblr being like, don't woobify Kylo Ren, don't woobify him. And it's like, well, you know what, when the movie stops, woobifying him. I do think he is a fascinating character for that reason. He is, I mean, I have a headcanon now that I personally believe is unshakable, that Anakin was mentally ill and that Kylo Ren is now mentally ill as well. And that there is just a fundamental instability that's going on that can't be explained by just, oh, dark side, oh, light side. Like, maybe it's a more modern thing. But I think that, for me, that is kind of the only explanation. I mean, he's talking very seriously to a helmet.
Yeah. That moment with the two stormtroopers
really
was hilarious, though.
That's exactly what I was going to bring
okay.
up. That was great.
I mean, but that is the thing, is that they allowed Kylo Ren to also be a little bit of comic relief-ish, which was kind of cool, because he was very menacing, but I don't know.
From an actor standpoint, my one issue is I can't throw away the fact that Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren,
yeah, me too,
has this big role on Girls, and I didn't really like him on Girls. And so I look at him, he looks exactly like he does, he talks the same exact way, except for when he's under that mask, and it just didn't sit with me. And I thought he was a fine villain. I didn't think he was a great villain. I think they could have done something a little more wicked with the character while continuing to be conflicted over his path.
The thing about him being a fine villain instead of a great villain to me is actually that's what he is in the movie. Like, really, in the Star Wars world, he has not leveled up yet. He is really working hard to do that, and that's what leads to our major confrontation.
And that's such an interesting parallel to Darth Vader, isn't it? Because you always think of Darth Vader as this big, inconquerable villain, but really you watch the movies and he's, you know, his team does, they don't respect him and they think that he's kind of crazy because of the whole Jedi thing. He struggles with a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, I think by that point everyone is scared of him, but they don't, they certainly don't have that inherent respect in the power that he has.
Mm. And that's kind of the, what you see with that. That's one of the many parallels between those two stories, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's, I did think that in terms of leading up to it, I actually put a lot of that weight or non-weight on the scenes between Han and Leia, which was maybe why I had an issue there. Like, this is a major thing, and I get that they're not going to be screaming at each other all over again, and I don't know if Carrie Fisher is up to that, which I think was also an issue.
She's up for anything.
And I love her. Yeah, but her acting, I don't know. Whatever. But that's such a huge moment to me that, like, that they, like, if this is the reason why they broke up, which to me is a perfect and maybe the only good reason for them to mm-hmm. break up. I mean, if this was real life, there are plenty of good reasons to break up, but they're Han and Leia, so this is the only thing I'm going to accept. But I needed to see them deal with that more intensely, you know, and for them to feel like the grief over it. We also have a very poor sense of timing in the movie. Like, we have no idea how long Kylo has been gone.
Yeah.
You know, no idea how long Han and Leia have been estranged for. Very little idea of any other, you know, how long Luke's been gone for, what the relative timing of all this is, which is not fundamental of itself, but it's important in understanding, I guess, how impactful, you know, or how fresh these wounds are going to be. So, and like, when did they decide that they need Luke back? Like, if he's, has he been missing the whole time? And instantly Leia was like, we need to find Luke. Or is this suddenly new? You know, how long has the First Order been around? We don't know. So at least as long as Finn's been alive, probably. It's all very confusing to me. So I think that there definitely were holes in, like, the emotional struts of the movie were not supported as much as they needed to be. I don't think that in the scene itself that bothered me, but I do think that, like, looking from it at it from a structural point of view, there are places where, you know, more conversations or, you know, less just like bring our son home and more like, I don't know, some
right.
other,
yeah,
some
yeah,
other
yeah. Time
set
frame
of words,
of some kind,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that obviously there's a lot to explain and set up in this movie. I'm hoping that with episodes 8 and 9, now that the world has been reestablished, there will be more of those explanations. I mean, because thinking back to when we first heard this title, The Force Awakens, it was kind of clear from the very beginning that this was the start of something. This was an introduction mm-hmm. to what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the film did end up showing that. So hopefully with these next couple films, we're gonna dive deeper into the story.
So let's talk a little bit about, because we've spent a lot of time talking about the past and our old heroes, but let's talk about our new heroes, which were, of course, Rey, Finn, and Poe Dameron-ish, not so much, but he was definitely in there a lot as well. How do we feel about this new trio and their new droid?
So on board.
Yeah.
So many feels, so on board with this.
Here's something we're excited about, 100%, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It would have been, there is so much riding on the success of these three new characters. Obviously,
yeah.
Going forward, they will probably be in many, many of these movies. So it was a big relief to see that they, all three of them were really fantastic. Rey and Finn, of course, got the most screen time,
yeah.
And they were great.
But Oscar Isaac doesn't need a lot. I said this in my review, too. Like, really, he only needs a couple of scenes, and you're like, oh, wow.
I have fallen into a Poe Dameron-shaped hole, and I can't get back out of it again.
You and Natalie both are, like, obsessed now. It's great.
It's a problem. It's a major problem. Like, I've gone out and bought, like, every bit of Poe merchandise I can get my hands on there.
Meanwhile, like, I'm just Rey all the way. Just, like, she's my wallpaper. I want to get that big poster with the orange sky. Like, she's the hero that I always wanted to be. Yeah.
But Rey, like, as much as I've, like, completely fallen in love with Poe, for me, Daisy Ridley and Rey, they were the standards.
They're perfect.
Like, MVP.
She drove this movie, like, completely. She was phenomenal from start to finish. And I think she's the perfect, like, she's going to be a superstar after this. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to be huge because she was just so great. Like, there was, yeah, she was a complete and utter badass, but there was a vulnerability and a gentleness to her that was also really endearing, and I just absolutely love her.
You know,
I love her so much.
You know what's so interesting about Rey, and obviously I love her, and we can all talk about how much we love her, but what's so interesting when you follow J.J. Abrams' work is that there is a type, like, everything he's done has been building up to Rey, I kind of feel like, because if you've watched Alias, like Sydney Bristow, and even Lost, like before that kind of went off the rails, Kate was set up very much like this character as well, and Felicity to some extent as well. Like, here's this character who is strong and fierce, and but she's not afraid to be vulnerable. You know, she's not, she breaks down when things get rough. You know, she struggles. She is overcome with emotion and with fear and with all of these things, and she fails as well. She's funny. And she gets to be, like, that scene where Finn, like, put his hand on her head and was, like, trying to climb on her. And she was like, rah! It was one of the best little moments because she's, like, a physical presence as much as she is, like, an emotional one. And that just, it makes her so relatable and it makes her so real. And I think that's, like, the main thing for me is that she felt so real. And she was allowed to be everything that a human being should be, you know, and I was so impressed by that and so happy that they gave us that.
So I was a little nervous because I'd heard a couple of things, you know, people saying maybe she was a little stiff during filming and JJ had to talk to her about that. And, you know, obviously this is literally like the first thing she's done. And, you know, welcome to acting.
I know. Here's Star Wars. Have fun.
Exactly. But so I was a little prepared to like give her the benefit of the doubt, but I did not have to for a second. She was so good. And what I think about her is that I don't even think of her as like part of a continuum. I just think that she as a character, there's nothing about her that is performance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Women perform all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what we are. We're acting in a certain way that often we don't feel, but Rey acts exactly how she feels.
Mm-hmm,
and I think that is so beautiful. And I did see someone say, someone whose opinion I respect, said that, you know, she wasn't as impressed with Rey because she didn't have any flaws. And I don't disagree, but I don't think that she was presented as flawless. I think it was more like, here's Rey, we're going to get to know her psychology a little better later on. Like, Luke doesn't have that many flaws that the narrative acknowledges in A New Hope. Like, he's whiny as hell, but the narrative is not as on top of him for that.
I don't know. I feel like she did have flaws. I feel like that's, like, the whole thing. She was afraid and she was, like, crying and she was, I mean, obviously she had that, like, save the droid moment at the beginning of the film, which was meant to, you know, get us to like her, but she really did, you know, she was a kind of reclusive and she always just wanted to get back to her planet because she had that whole, because I know criticism actually of Finn, which Kyle Ren he wanted to be on the special basically because he said he really wanted to talk about the fact that he didn't like Finn. He has very good arguments for why he doesn't like Finn, but one of the things he said was he doesn't like that Finn is so selfish. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, first of all, I disagree. I loved Finn. I thought he was amazing. But
he's the bravest character in the
movie. He's so brave, and I feel like he was allowed to be brave when Rey wasn't. And that's one of the things that I loved about their dynamic, is that they weren't strong on the expense of the other. So, like, when Finn got his moments and Rey got her moments, and sometimes Finn did not do the right thing, and sometimes Rey did not do the right thing, but they were always sort of supplementing each other in that way. And I actually really enjoyed the balance between them.
One of the things, and I said it to him this morning, is that fear and being brought up in that kind of environment that he was, like, he was conditioned to be someone who fought for the First Order. And if you read any of the prequel comics, he was one of their most promising stormtroopers. Like, they ran a simulation that he basically led and made it kind of all work out. But he was reprimanded because another stormtrooper fell behind and he went back for them.
Uh-huh.
And that compassion was something that worried Captain Phasma and Hux. And the thing is that breaking free from this conditioning is like a testament to that compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But also, having been brought up and seen how they treat people, like, that fear, that's gonna drive a very instinctual flight thing that you will want to run because you know what they're capable of. And I would challenge anyone to not feel that instinct to run, because we can kind of theorize that, no, we'd stand and fight and we'd be like, no, most of us would probably run.
Right.
And that's not a problem because it's an instinct.
Yeah, fear doesn't make you weak. Like, it's the whole like Slytherin Hufflepuff argument all over, like Ravenclaw. Yeah. You're not stupid because you're afraid.
He chooses to come back.
Mm.
And that's the important part, is despite that fear, despite that instinct to run, he eventually comes back. No matter what that motivation is, that was his choice. And that was a really, for him, a great character arc just from the start of this movie, because you see it, he wants to run when he's in the TIE fighter with Poe, and then you see it again when he's in the castle with Rey and Han and Chewie, but then he stays and he continues to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's driven by wanting to rescue Rey or not, that's still his choice to stay and fight. Mm-hmm. I loved Finn. I loved the trio all together. I feel, for me, almost kind of represented different aspects of Luke and how Luke was as a character through the original trilogy. So I liked seeing that struggle broken down into three different characters and how they all played off each other, because I found that fascinating. So I really, really, really connected with all of them quite deeply. Like, I'm in love with them.
I also heard someone say, like, I mean, a friend of mine also was, you know, kind of like, oh, and, you know, Finn turns out to just be Rey's sidekick. And I'm like, no, not at all. Like, he is his own character with his own story arc. I mean, sidekicks don't have story arcs usually, you know?
Yeah, they balanced each other, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, it just turned out that he was not involved in the major conflict of the story. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if that makes you a sidekick, then there's a lot of good characters who are sidekicks now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So moving back to Rey, because I feel like we all agree, we all love Finn, so yay. But moving back to Rey a little bit, so we had the big thing at the end, like one of the biggest questions the movie sort of left us with was, you know, Rey got the lightsaber, she opened herself to the Force, she was super strong with the Force, and she goes to the island because this is J.J. Abrams, it's got to be an island, and she presents the lightsaber to Luke, and Luke is all old and Obi-Wan-like, and it's great. And they stare at each other, and there are tears in their eyes. What's the deal? Yeah. What's happening? Is she a Skywalker? Is she... What do you guys think?
Well, I think they're certainly leading us that way, but are they purposely misleading us? I think that's the question, because I mean, this is going to be a big question going into episode 8. And this is what, like, getting back to what I was saying earlier, I think the mysteries of Star Wars are what is going to drive the success of these films going forward. So keeping that mystery, we will not know until episode 8 hits theaters. And even then, we may not know. We may have to wait till episode 9. But honestly, as a more casual Star Wars fan, I wasn't even thinking about that watching this. So
really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It just didn't cross my mind, because there is still an important story there. It's just, you know, Rey's potential relationship to Luke aside, the question is, what the hell has been Luke up to, and why is he away? And those were the questions I was thinking of. But yeah, I mean, it does seem like that's the case, that they're father-daughter, but...
Yeah, also with her memories of being left behind, you know, this is, for me, I just feel like... I feel like at the end of the movie, if she is his daughter, the characters knew. Because obviously, that connection they seem to have on the hill and the way that she was remembering being left behind on Jakku. But then they would have told us. That's like, because otherwise the reveal is going to be very underwhelming. So I'm very torn.
I went into the movie convinced that Rey was Han and Leia's daughter. And
yeah,
I think
me too.
There still is like a tiny window of possibility if for some reason maybe she was kidnapped or something and they think she was dead, in which case they wouldn't say like, oh, Jakku, we left a daughter there a couple of years ago. but I definitely left the movie thinking she was Luke's daughter. I didn't actually realize, I mean, you're right, it's possible that somebody, that maybe Leia told her or what have you. But I still think that they could not know. I mean, Luke just knows that there's this girl here. I don't know, maybe he can feel through the Force. Or maybe they both know but aren't really talking about it. They kind of like instinctually are feeling that thing, which happens a lot in Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah, I don't know. But I have some people who are adamant that that can't be it because, like, no, it's not, like, it's better if it's more random. Somebody I heard was like, what if she's Captain Phasma's daughter?
Oh,
and I
whoa.
Was like, what?
I like it.
I don't know if Gwendolyn Christie's old enough for that, but possibly. I don't know how old Gwendolyn Christie is, actually. But yeah, I definitely think that this is... And I was also convinced that we would find out in the movie. So now I don't know. Now I'm not sure if we even are going to learn until, you know, episode 9.
If it does end up being Luke, because that's kind of how it felt the whole time, and if it does end up being that and they try to drag it out, then it'll be very disappointing.
Exactly.
Just because everybody's like, okay, who else can it be? I would be a fan of them expanding the Jedi outside of the Skywalker family. Like, I think that would be interesting, instead of having it be a sort of lineage thing. But I was also in the cave sort of dream sequence. I was trying to figure out whose voice was talking to her when they were like telling her, okay, bye-bye, we're leaving now, because it sounded like a familiar voice. I have to go watch it again, but I was trying to figure out who it was and I couldn't pinpoint it. So I'm hoping that maybe second time I'll be able to pinpoint it, because I think it would be nice to know. Yeah. I mean, my biggest question actually when they were standing on the mountain and she was handing the lightsaber to him was, one, why is this taking so long? And two, is this Earth? Like, the whole time, they're like, oh, it's somewhere we've never been before.
Oh, my God. I hope it's not.
Well, then they lower you lower through the clouds, or you see this planet and you go through the clouds. And I'm like, this looks exactly like Earth. So I think that would be kind of interesting. So that was actually my biggest question while they were standing on that mountain. Like, do I know what that mountain is? Do I know where that is?
Oh, my God. Could you guys imagine? I don't think I would like that. That would be like Battlestar Galactica, but worse.
It would be weird. It would be very weird. But that's why, I don't know, it kind of made sense to me, because you're like, oh, we've never heard about this part of the galaxy before. And I'm like,
That would be funny. They open episode 8 with like a long time ago in a galaxy right here, bitches.
Exactly like that. I hope that's exactly how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, from a budget perspective, it makes much more sense to film here on Earth instead of traveling very far away. So they may actually move back here
for the end of the movie. I mean, you know,
that's how they, you know, Disney owns that and Marvel now. So they'll just make this like intersect with the Avengers and have a crossover. It'll be great. Actually, Rey's dad is Thor.
Oh, God.
You know, I wouldn't put it past Disney, honestly.
Personally, I think Luke is Rey's father. I think that's kind of the thread that we're supposed to go with through the entire movie. I feel like if it was someone else, they would have shown an outline of someone or something on that ship as it was leaving, or they would have just revealed on that ship someone if she wasn't related to like anyone. Yeah. The fact that they're keeping it a secret makes me think that there's going to be a big reveal about it in episode 8. So, because it would parallel the big reveal of who Luke's father was, which was in episode
Yeah, and also, like, that'll make her and Kylo Ren cousins, which gives them a family connection, and it'll give her a family connection to Leia and a tie to the family. Like, it just makes sense, you know? Because they didn't reveal it, and because we all kind of know, it kind of feels like they have to, like Danielle was saying, I think they have to do something spectacular to surprise us now.
Yeah, you know? And the thing is that I know that Disney has basically gone, okay, the expanded universe is, like, it's done, it's now legends, it's, you know, it exists in its own little thing, but it's, like, mythology kind of thing. But they get to pick and choose, essentially. And the biggest storyline that people loved from the expanded universe was Jaina and Jason, who are twins. Twin children of Han and Leia, who basically one is on the light side and one is on the dark side, and they come into conflict. Like, that's one of the big driving forces in the stories in the expanded universe. So I feel like they would still want to draw some kind of parallel from that, because it's so beloved from the expanded universe that it would make sense that they would change it up a little bit for...
Yeah, they would be family, but they wouldn't be twins. Because I just... There's no way she's Leia and Han's... Like, they would know. Like, Leia would know, you know?
It'd be entirely possible that Luke could have kept it a secret.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible that if he has gotten stronger in the Force since the last time we saw him, that if they did have some knowledge, that he could tamper with it in some way. Or tamper with the memories. So I can believe that they wouldn't immediately recognize her or sense that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's something about it that just, I really, really feel like that's where they're going with it.
I will say, you know, getting back to the whole secrecy of the plot and everything, who would have guessed that Luke was only going to show up in the final 30 seconds?
Was anyone else thinking that it was going to end before you saw his face? Because I was waiting for it to end, and my heart was pounding. I think we talked to Danya about this, like, just thinking it was going to cut.
Yeah. And I think that just shows you that Luke is going to have a huge role in episode 8 now that Han, his story, sadly, no longer has to be told. There's a lot more room for Luke now. And
I just hope Leia's going to come back as well.
Yeah, she has to. Mm-hmm.
That harkens back to the Kylo Ren and Han bit for me with what I think they might do with Leia next. I don't know if we want to get into that a bit later on. Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that Kylo Ren seeing Han as this way to free himself from the light and push himself onto the dark side is a huge error on his part, because I feel like Han hasn't and never has been the biggest draw to the light side. He didn't always believe in the Force. He hasn't always been that strong with it. You know, he's always had that little kind of bit of a scoundrel in him, and he does some things that are slightly dubious, but there is this thing about fathers and this cyclical kind of echo through all of the movies, all of the trilogies that kind of goes with that. But I think Leia is going to be the kind of wild card here.
Someone's read my review.
This is the thing, is I felt it when I was watching the movie as well, as I was like, Leia has always presented herself as being very Force sensitive, even though she hasn't ever become a Jedi. Like, her ability to sense things in the Force has always been incredibly strong. So I think if we're ever going to see anyone at any point able to sway him back to the light, it'll be her.
I really hope so. Like, I really, because that's the thing as well, not just Star Wars, but J.J. Abrams, obviously. And it's funny because J.J. Abrams, everything he does has been influenced by Star Wars. So now he's doing Star Wars. So it's kind of like a full circle thing. But his thing has always been all the best cowboys have daddy issues. Like, that's been running through all of his works as well, especially Lost. It was an episode called that. And it was all about dads, all of it. Like, it was never about the moms. It's kind of like Disney. You know, they just kill the moms off and have the conflict be with the dad. But I feel like if Star Wars really wants to do something different, they do, not just with Rey as the main hero, but they actually make the mom matter for once. in this story, you know, and they don't just make Kylo Ren's conflict be with Luke and maybe with Rey, but they also include Leia in that.
See, yeah. I don't really feel like Leia has a big role coming up. I could be wrong about this. That's just kind of the impression I get from how minimally she was used in this movie. I don't know. I hope she does. I'm also wondering, like, can Ben come back? Can he be Ben Solo again? Or is, I mean, like, maybe we'll see him and Snoke will be like, by the way, I don't know who or what Snoke is, but cool. But maybe mm-hmm. Snoke is, like, you know, berating him for feeling guilty or blah, blah, blah. But it definitely feels like he has leveled up his evil or his attempts at evil anyway, you know, and it's just such a horrifying thing to see him do like that, you know, and something that I actually personally don't think that the movie really engages with enough, because everything moves so quickly after that. And like, while I'm obviously rooting for Rey in this conflict with Kylo, it's not because of Han, you know, it's because he's about to kill you with a lightsaber, you know? So that was a bugbear that I had with him. But yeah, I mean, going forward, I don't know. I do think that, what's her face? I want Rey to be Luke's daughter, because otherwise, like, the emotion again, it's so much stronger as cousins, you know, and mm-hmm, as mm-hmm. like, you know, being bound to this family with this crazy legacy, you know, that has apparently consumed Kylo Ren. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I find it very dramatically promising.
Yeah, me too. So any other predictions we have for episode 8? You know, there's 2 years to go, but we might as well start now. Danielle, do you have anything?
I guess not so much a prediction, but I would like to see someone really give Luke a once over or a what for like where he's been.
Yeah.
Or like why he deserted, because that just really bothered me a lot, because that didn't seem like a great motivation for me. I don't think I have any predictions right now, just because I'm still just struggling with this movie. This is talking with you guys is helping, but I'm still struggling. So skip. Okay.
I do. First thing is that I think we're going to see a fairly substantial time jump by about at least a year to a year and a half. And I think that'll allow to have Rey and Luke training together, but also, as it was set up at the end of the movie, Snoke and Kylo Ren having trained together without having to let the whole movie get bogged down in that. So I think we're going to see a time jump, which would also allow for Finn to wake up and potentially have that kind of friendship between him and Poe explored, but also for him to find his place in, don't laugh at me, Selena, because you know exactly what my thoughts are on
explored.
That.
Friendship. Can you see my eyebrows?
We're going. But also for Finn to be able to find his place within the Resistance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be a time jump for those characters to kind of settle into their new roles where they're left at the end of this movie. But yeah, that's what I think, like that's one of the biggest predictions. I think we will potentially see more Captain Phasma.
I hope so. God, there was not enough of her in this one.
Now,
Andrew, do you have any theories? What do you think the story's going to go, knowing nothing?
Similarly with Captain Phasma, I hope to see more R2-D2. He was in that low power mode because Luke was gone, which was kind of a weird explanation, wasn't it?
I think Luke put him in that mode.
Yeah, I think he did too.
Yeah, me too. I don't have a lot other. To be honest, I have no idea what's going to happen, and I love it. I love it so much. But I do agree with the time jump, and I think, you know, obviously the fact that Chewbacca is alive. I mean, that to me, I know this is really dumb, but it never occurred to me that one could exist without the other. Then, like, I was sure when Han died, Chewbacca would, like, sacrifice himself for something or, like, jump into the hole after him or something. Like,
that's what actually bummed me out, too, about Han's death more than anything. Just, like, poor Chewie.
Poor Chewie, exactly. So it's like now Chewie is all alone for the first time, and I really hope that they're going to use him, and Peter Mayhew obviously is really into it, and I hope that they manage to get him back for this and have him be with Rey now or something like that, you know, join the Resistance on his own terms.
Well, yeah, now he's got to avenge his father's, his friend's death.
Exactly. And like, it's so funny. People in the comments on the Unhypeable on the spoiler thread, they're all like, you know, Chewie's obviously going to be a Jedi because apparently that happened in the extended universe or something. And like,
it was his daughter that was a Jedi. He had a daughter who became a Jedi and trained.
Well, anyway, I hope he's going to be in it. And I'm excited to see what happens with Finn. And I hope that, I imagine that Finn and Poe, when we see them again, they've probably been like the same place for a long time and they'll have a better friendship. My eyebrows are going, you can't see them. No, but really, mm-hmm. and then they're going to meet up with Rey again and their trio friendship is going to be more established. And I think that like the Finn and Rey thing has been set up really nice. You know, like we don't know if it's going to be romantic yet, but if it is, I'm totally on board. I thought that was done really well. And I think when we see Kylo Ren, like I do still think there is going to be some good in him that someone is going to reach at some point. Like that's very clearly what they're setting up. But I do think for a while, at least for the second movie, he's probably going to be the bad guy. You know, like the
yeah.
So
what's also interesting is that you know if you remember Empire is Luke at his most resistant, his most cocky, his most irritating. You know, he, like Yoda, is trying to teach him over and over and over again, and he's like, no, I can't do it, it's not possible, blah blah blah.
It's a very good look.
Exactly. Yeah, I know, right? I don't want to go to taxi station to get power.
No, I can run.
Oh, Mark Hamill, I love you. But, you know, which will be interesting to see if that's reflected in either Rey's training or maybe Kylo Ren's training, you know. And we also have new characters, right? We have Benicio Del Toro, who's cast. We have possibly Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Mm-hmm. She was rumored for a long time. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. And you know, certainly. Do you guys think that Maz Kanata's coming back? Because I was a little surprised at how abruptly that ended. It was like...
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to tell with her.
I know. Yeah. So beginning to slowly wrap up the show now, we have a couple of more points. And one of the things I wanted to ask, and feel free to skip it if you don't have anything. I know we've kind of talked a little bit about what we didn't like so much about the film. And I was wondering if there was anything in particular you felt that we hadn't brought up yet. You know, do you think they paralleled the original story enough or too much or not enough?
I have one thing I really didn't like is that they made a conscious effort to put such an emphasis on practical effects, which I think worked amazingly well. It mm-hmm. looked good. It was fantastic. It made everything feel more real. It was great. But, and here's my big but, that made characters like Snoke and Maz Kanata stand out really starkly. Like, it really threw me out at points because it just did not look as good as the practical effects.
Mm.
It was so obviously CGI.
Yeah. Anyone else have anything? No? We all loved it? We loved everything?
I don't think I haven't mentioned. Good. You know,
it was perfect.
It was just perfect.
I will say Starkiller base didn't work for me. Like, that whole thing. Like, why are we here? This is like, it was like an extra, like, oh, and plus we need to destroy this thing too so we can have starfights. I don't know. I kind of would have rather there just have been like an invasion of the rebel base or something and for all that to go down at the same place.
Moving on to some fun things, just so we didn't get all bad at the end. We had, obviously, there were a lot of cameos and jokes and references to stuff that we may have picked up on. And I was wondering if you guys had anything in particular that you noticed. For me, I had just a couple of things. First of all, J.J. Abrams brings in Greg Grunberg to everything he does. And I was so happy to see him show up. And also Ken Leung, who is a other Lost actor. And I want to ask you guys, like, I really need to know this. And I've talked about it on Twitter, too, and had some people reply. So J.J. Abrams comes in, he does this whole Star Wars thing, he kills off Han Solo. The very first shot of the movie, you pan down from the text to that sun, and the starship moves forward. And the first thing that moves forward is the tip of the ship, and then comes in like the rest of it. And it's a giant middle finger. Like, guys, there's no way around it. It was a giant middle finger to the audience at the start of the film. Notice it on your second watch. I swear to God, I was laughing my ass off because I was like,
I don't know. I have a couple of like cameos that were really, really well. There was one cameo that was really great for me. Daniel Craig.
Did
was
you
in this
notice
movie.
That? Because I didn't notice it until I read about it online afterwards.
It was his voice, and he was the stormtrooper that Rey mind whammies, Jedi mind whammies, and I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. Yeah.
That was my favorite cameo and one of my favorite jokes, because the way Daniel Craig responded with dialogue was really good. And there is something, maybe I subconsciously recognized it was him, but it just didn't click in my brain. Because there was something about it. I was like, oh, I really like this. Yeah. And that guy kind of sounds familiar. But I just, without seeing his face, I could not figure it out to save for the
life. Yeah, I was just like, that's such a good actor they got to play that stormtrooper.
yeah, exactly. Like, wow, he's a real natural. He could have a career someday.
The other thing, do you remember the orb that Luke trained with in New Hope? That was in the movie as well.
Oh, was it? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and just confirmed very, very recently, Ewan McGregor was in this movie. He was in the flashback scene, and he recorded a line for it.
What?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Which flashback scene?
The big flashback scene.
Rey's flashback scene.
Rey's flashback scene.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. What did he say?
Cool. It's just that I've literally just got this sent through to me by someone. So there's also a YouTube link. So
interesting.
I'm guessing that I kind of will have to watch that as soon as I'm done. But
it's a hype exclusive. There you go. And Danielle and Mikhail, did you guys notice anything?
Yeah, no. I mean, if anyone has read Aftermath, which I don't blame you if you haven't, because it wasn't very good. But Greg Grunberg's character is called Snap Wexley, and the main character in that book is Nora Wexley, and her son is Tamman Wexley, who's there. Uh-huh. So Tamman could be that age, Greg Grunberg's age around now. It's possible Snap is the nickname.
Did anyone
have any cool reactions in their theaters? Because my theater was like pretty chill. Like we applauded when the Millennium Falcon showed up, but then when Rey got the lightsaber at the end, everybody burst out cheering, and it was like this amazing moment.
I had a very funny Rey related moment in my cinema actually, because I was sitting next to, and I told the story on Hype before, so I'll just tell it quickly. But this group of really like dude-y dudes were sitting next to me, like came in like, oh, Star Wars. And like they were like trash talking Rey a little bit, like I was kind of trying to ignore it, and they were like, when Han Solo came in, he was like, oh, he's old, boo. And then like Rey was trying to force control Daniel Craig, and she couldn't do it. She kept trying, and they were like, no, she's not gonna be able to. And then like, because they were like mocking her, like, she can't do that, and then she did it, and they like fell completely silent, and they were just like, and I was like, ha.
Also, that was my awesome moment. That was after she defeated Kylo Ren.
I know. They're just dumb.
Dudes.
That's it. That was just funny. So moving on now to listener feedback, we have a couple of tweets that we want to read out from listeners who have also seen and enjoyed Star Wars The Force Awakens. Starting off with Kimberly. Andrew, do you want to get that one?
Yeah, she says, I've never been a huge Star Wars fan, but all caps, now I am. Rey is my everything. I want to be her when I grow up.
Me too.
So yeah, good role model for everybody.
Yes. And Danielle, do you want to get my Elizabeth?
I would love to. My says, Rey is my bae. Straight up, ugly cried at Han Solo. Wanted more Hamill. BB-8, not a fan of Kylo Ren acting. Poe/Finn.
There you go, Danielle.
There was a lot of stuff in there, Mom. Yes. We might have to talk about this to unpack it. But
Rey is my bae sounds like a good new T-shirt idea.
Right? I like it.
Or like a tag
or button for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mai,
yeah,
is
new
that,
button.
Mai, is that you saying you liked Poe/Finn or you...
I think
not
she did
fan.
Like it. I think it's like all of her separate things. She's not a fan of Kylo Ren acting, but she likes Poe/Finn.
Yeah,
I think
come
she
talk
likes
to
BBA
me
too.
Come talk to me on Twitter, Mai, because I've got two people in my life called Natalie. Natalie from Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, and Natalie, who's an author friend of mine, and I've been ruining both of their lives by just descending into madness with them. So if you want to be involved in that, come find me on Twitter. You know where I am.
Lucien WD says, "How are we guessing Maz got her hand on Luke's her hands on Luke's lightsaber?" See, I mean, don't think this is going to be as big of a deal as people think it is, personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I kind of think it's just like, well, it fell into Bespin and somebody found it and there was trading that happened.
Yeah, definitely a bunch of trading. But I just feel like they purposely left that a mystery to answer in episode 8, and we're going to get a whole backstory with that. Maybe Luke will explain it. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, because it's not his green. It was not his. It was his blue lightsaber, right? Not his green one.
Yeah, it was the one he lost at the end of Empire.
Yeah.
It was Anakin's.
Yeah.
Which is why Kylo was like, that belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me.
Yeah, and so.
Actually, I had a really weird moment when, like, you hear the crying, and then, like, when you realize it's the lightsaber, I'm like, is that Rey, or are we hearing, like, the younglings being slaughtered?
Yeah,
because that's the lightsaber that Anakin.
It's like that spell in Harry Potter when they hear the old spells being performed. So you were hearing the old like voices of the people the lightsaber killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, I haven't seen the movies, but yes.
You read the books, right?
Yes. I don't remember, though. It's been a long time.
What is it called, guys? Come on, Harry Potter fans. The one where the lightsabers... No, the wands hit each other.
Rexillian, something like that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we need to settle this.
I just thought it was like a twin core. Wasn't that the twin core thing, or is that something
else? No, when they spell the spells hit each other at the same time at the end of Order... No, Force Awakens, Goblet of Fire. What fandom is this?
I mean, it's Expelliarmus that they do, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and then it goes into his wand. And it's the primo, that's the wrong thing.
it's what you described.
The first spell.
That's it.
Okay, you know, this is going to haunt me forever. I can't believe none of us remember this. It's so
embarrassing. Sweet J.K. Rowling and ask her.
Yeah, she'll reply. She doesn't reply to me, guys. I'm not special. So anyway, it's like that. That's not important. Danya, do you want to get the next comment?
Yeah, so Michael Gustini says, best Star Wars movie, Rey is incredible, Harrison Ford had me sobbing, and Kylo Ren is a really complex villain. Bravo, Abrams.
And Andrew, can you get the next one, please?
Gordon asks, or says, Adam Driver would have been the perfect age to play Anakin in the prequels. Instead, we got Hayden Christensen, ... Yeah, but see, he wasn't discovered in Girls back then. Mm. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. And Danielle, can you get the final comment, please?
Sure. Daisy the Reindeer says, they have finally managed to bind classic and modern Star Wars together perfectly.
Yes.
And I think they did a really good job with that. I agree. I agree, Daisy the Reindeer.
Me too. I'm still looking up that spell. I can't find it. I'm so ashamed of myself. So that pretty much wraps up our hype special for Star Wars The Force Awakens. Thank you to everyone who's sending comments, and thank you to everyone who joined us. We'll be back in 2 years, I'm sure, to talk about episode 8. Do you guys... Ooh, final predictions. What's it going to be called?
The Force Goes Back to Sleep.
The Force overslept.
The Force Ray woke up,
found the universe Ray in a disappointing
Bay.
State, and rolled over one.
R.I.P. Han Solo. I don't know.
Yeah, we're still not over it.
No. The First Order. Second Order.
The First Order Strikes Back would be something
Kylo's Revenge. Or Rey's Revenge, maybe.
Rey's Revenge.
Chewie Strikes Back.
There you go. That's it. That's perfect. I love it so much. So thank you so much. And guys who are listening, if you have feelings and thoughts about The Force Awakens, we're sure you do. Our regular hype hosts are all freaking out, and I'm sure they're going to want to talk about it on our next episode of Hype, so we can have some comments from you guys as well, and that can hopefully spark some discussion. You can send that in on Twitter at HypeableHype, or on Instagram. Don't send comments to Instagram, but we do have an Instagram that's also at HypeableHype. You can email us your lengthy comments on hype@hypeable.com, and of course you can find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypable.com, and find the podcast post and post your comments on there. Thank you for listening. May the Force be with you. May the Force be with you. My name is Selena.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Danielle.
Are we in order? I'm Michal.
I'm Danya.
Oh, I said I'm Danielle, but I'll say it again. I'm Danielle.
Yay, you're still Danielle.
I'm still Danielle.
Yay. Well, this is your first time. You can get to say your name a couple of times.
Oh, wonderful.
To catch up.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Boba. Whatever.
Yeah.
What's our squad name?
Edited in later. Our squad name.
Yeah. Hype know. One.
Rogue Three.
No, Rogue is taken.
I like Hype One.
Hype One. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
So you're hype leader, Selena.
I guess that would make me hype leader. Yeah. Sorry, Andrew. It's girl power time now.
So yes, we're never going back.